We're going to be talking about the name of Jesus this month. And before we get into the lesson, I know the ushers have a little handout to give you, just to stay connected and take away. This is so imperative and so important that we understand this thing. We often say this phrase in a context seasonally. Jesus is the reason for the season. But really, Jesus is the reason for every season. Amen. Good times, bad times, hard times, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so we are going to emphasize the name of Jesus these Wednesday nights during the month of December. And tonight, as I was honing in and settling in after studying this out again and refreshing, diving into it, the Lord said, he said, talk about them using the name. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. It begs a question in the beginning of this subject. Are we using the name, for the name of Jesus, to its full potential in our life and journey as a Christian believer? Are you using the name of Jesus in every matter, in every circumstance, in every situation that comes into your life experience? How have you been using the name of Jesus in your life here recently? Now, let me put a backdrop, two small backdrops to this. We said before many a times, and we just came out of Triumphant Church and talking about the authority as believers and those kinds of things, and we had an understanding of the battle we're up against, the battle that comes against us as Christian believers. And of course, with that being said, we must understand and embrace the fact that most, if not all, of our issues are spiritual, because Scripture gives us indication of that. In Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about we don't wrestle against what? Flesh and blood. So it's not a human being problem. It's a spirit being problem. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the earth, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we're against an unseen opponent. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it tells us, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. Sometimes we look at situations and things and it's got human flesh and bones on it. It could be our family. It could be a neighbor. It could be a coworker or corporate situation at the work, and we're looking at them as the problem. When there's an unseen force behind that problem. So are we using the Holy Spirit technology that we have? Because everybody's into technology sometimes. You know, we use technology to do things. You know, you saw during praise and worship, you know, internet, you know, YouTube, social media. We got video projectors. We all pretty much probably have a smartphone. And that's human technology. Thank God for it. They're tools for us to do things better in this busy last days. But there is Holy Spirit technology. There's a Holy Spirit tool. Jesus called it a key. I give you keys to the kingdom. And of course, one of the keys or tools that we use that we've been left as our present tense right now inheritance is the name of Jesus. Now here's the second backdrop. Everything that Jesus was, he is, and he will ever be, is wrapped up, tied up, and filled up in his name. Now I want you to grab a hold of that concept. Everything Jesus was, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. He rose victorious. he's ascended to the and highly exalted to, at the right hand of the Father. Come on now. When he walked the earth, he would never was succumbed to sickness, disease, or disability. He Jesus, was never overcome by sin and temptation and torment of the enemy. Because it said he knew no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. He never was stressed out, burned out, blown out by any situation. That's who Jesus was as the Son of the Living God walking around in human skin. But that's what the name includes. Everything he was, everything he is, because John 4 tells us, as he is, so are we in this present world. So we get to be like him, represented by his name. Now I want to stir you up tonight and the next Wednesday nights for the balance of the year with this key element of our Christian life, the name of Jesus. Are you using the name? That was enough for you to come here, put clothes on, and come to church tonight. Are you using the name? What's your usage level? I know I get it feedback on my phone, how much I use, screen time. What's your usage level of the name? You know, I observed, you know, it was a blessing, beautiful situation. The 41st president of the United States passed away. Of course, we know his funeral's been going on. They had the ceremony today. I was watching it. And I watched some of the speakers, and some of them would pray in certain ways, in certain manners, in certain methods. But as I was studying this out and meditating on these things, and thinking about these things, I was like, they're not using the name. Some of them aren't using the name. Now, some did, but some aren't using the name. I think about being to certain funerals of a certain religious organization, and they use a name that has limited power and scope, because you know I had to. Somebody asked me to share at one of the rosary, whether it was, and man, I mean, how many times I get up now and saying another name. That name doesn't have a lot of power. That name doesn't have a lot of majesty. Are you using the name? Are you listening to me? I'm just setting you up for the next few weeks to talk about it. We're going to talk about it and dive into it. Just want you to get stirred up about that. And then, of course, in this, the Holy Spirit reminded me, he said, you know, when he was president, when he was in office, he had power. You know, George H.W. Bush. When he was the 44th president, for those 4 years, he had power. But that was limited in time and limited by boundaries of the government of the United States and the powers of the U.S. Constitution. He said, the name is higher above any other name, because the president can do an executive order and cause all kinds of things to go on. There was power in his name. But we have a power above every other name, the name of Jesus. Are you using the name? Now, the Holy Spirit also reminded me of something Kennedy Hagin said in a teaching seminar when we were there at Raymond. And he said, the Lord had reminded him of, we're not using the full potential and magnitude and depth and dimensions of that name. Because we tolerate defeat. We tolerate disease. We tolerate sickness. We tolerate family turmoil and upheaval when we should use that name to break the power of the incursions of the enemy. We should use that name to break and terminate the assignments and the afflictions and the assault against our physical body. Are you listening to me? Are you using the name? Now, Philippians 2, 9 and 11, we see it there. And Brother Rodney, if you put them up on the board here, we'll get through much as we can tonight. But we're going to be talking about the name. The key crux of this is this title tonight, Using the Name. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above, what? Every name. We know cancer is a name. Diabetes is a name. High blood pressure is a name. Are you listening to me? Arthritis is a name. Bursitis is a name. Meningitis is a name. Spinal bifida is a name. Come on now. Poor circulation is a name. Ulcers have a name. Even divorce is a name. Depression is a name. Discouragement is a name. He's given him a name which is above what? Every name. That at the name of Jesus. Everybody say the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow of those in three dimensions, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. When we're in the military, we say sea, land, air. Got them all covered. That's three theaters of combat or conflict. But here, Jesus is three realms of existence, under the earth, in heaven, and on earth. Praise God. And that every tongue, not just most, every tongue should confess that what? Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we see in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 6, God who at various times in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, by whom he appointed heir of all things. That literally means in the Greek context, meaning lawful owner. And I notice he didn't say heir apparent. He said heir of all things. So Jesus is Lord over the earth, over all the earth. Hallelujah. He's coming back to run it soon. Amen. Through whom he has made the worlds, whom being brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels. And has, now notice he didn't just say better than the angels, he is so much better. And he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, the angels. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you, and again I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son? But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Amen. And we know the birth story, you know, where the angels came and heavenly hosts praising God, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. Amen. See, the more excellent name of Jesus came by three means. We've shared some of these before, but we're just kind of, we're refreshing and reminding you and repeating some of these things. Jesus' name is great because he inherited a great name. And his name is great because of his conquests, his accomplishments, what he accomplished. His name is great because it was conferred upon him. It was conferred upon him. The measure of the Lord Jesus Christ's ability is the measure of the value of the name, of that name. And all that is invested in that name belongs to us. Now, underscore that, highlight that. If you got a red, yellow highlighter or whatever, All that is invested in that name belongs to who?
Us.
Belongs to you. Now, here's the key. It don't work because I said what the Bible says it belongs to you. It works because you have faith and believe and take your inheritance that that name belongs to me. And you use it like it belongs to you. This is your inheritance as a child of God. You're not at a disadvantage. You have the name, and certainly we have the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who will help us understand the enormity of that name. And so he said, it belongs to us, for Jesus gave us the unqualified use of his name. Now what does that mean? When he rose from the dead and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, go. You know, Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Go, you go. He delegated authority. But that's also a right and privilege to use his name and operate in his behalf. We call it in legal terms power of attorney. He said it in Mark 16. Preach the gospel to every creature. And then over in 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my what? That means by my authority, by my power. All that I was on the earth that you'd seen me to be, all that I am now, and all that I will be is in my name. It's just like Jesus is here in his person performing the same act when you do it in the name. So legally, because of covenant, the new covenant established on better promise, spiritually, Jesus gave us the power of attorney, the legal right to use his great name. Now the question begs again, are you using the name? He gave us the legal right to use his name. Now let's read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 through 23. We used to call it the Ephesians prayer. Many of you know that. And so we're going to read that. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us, toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ. Now slow down and look at this. Worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So we call this the exaltation of Christ. This is a revelation of the exaltation of Christ. The resurrection was finished when he rose from the dead, but he also exalted him, all right, when he ascended, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. Keep going. And put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that all in all. Now notice he said, he worked his mighty power when he raised Christ from the dead and set him. That means his resurrection and his ascension and exaltation at his own right hand in the heavenly places. How far? Far above how much? All principality. That's anything in the angelic class. All power. That's authorities. All might, that's strength or ability. And he said dominion, that's government or lordship. And then, of course, every name that is named, that is any name that can be named. But he says something else. Not only in this world, but that which is to come. The highest name. Whew, glory to God. So God invested all this power and might and majesty in that name, and he gave that name to you and me. What are you doing with it? Are you using that name? Let's look at another scripture. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, 6 through 15. Colossians 2, 6 through 15. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him. So this is what we have to do. Like Brother Steve was saying, you got to take another step. None of this works if it's just you doing it because somebody else said it or somebody else. You got to study it out. You got to get it a part of you. It's got to be a revelation to you. It's got to be that aha moment, that understanding that I got it. I understand. I have the name. And I'm supposed to do everything in the name. And I'm dealing with the devil. How? In the name. You don't have to sit down with a wayward child and try to reason with them for 2 hours and 4 hours. Use the name. Break the power that's influencing them. In the name. You got a husband or a wife that's going off. How do you win them back to the on course with the Lord? Everybody say, use the name. Use the name. Don't use your human wisdom, your earthly wiles, or your manipulation and control. Use the name of Jesus. Brother Steve gave an example. He was standing in the name, saying, "Lord, I'm this and that," because the name of Jesus is like throwing the whole Bible against the devil, because it's a combination. Because he was the Word made flesh, and what was the name of the Word made flesh? Jesus, the name of Jesus. So he was a consummation of the Old and New Testament. And we use the name of Jesus, it's like throwing the whole Bible at the devil. And he said, wait a minute, this is what your word says, because that's his name authenticates this. Amen? Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
All right. Keep going. Let's keep going. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding with what? Thanksgiving. So you ought to be thanking for his name. I get the right to use the name. I'm not at a disadvantage because they outnumber me. I'm not at a disadvantage because the numbers look insurmountable to me. You have the name above every other name. See, the name is above, amen, bankruptcy, debt, lack. We're going to get it for a couple weeks from now. We're going to be leaping about it. You got to know how to use the name. But just like any tool set or any new equipment you get from Walmart or any of these retail outlets, you got to learn how to use it. If somebody gave you something, you know, it can sit in your garage and still not be utilized. We got the name of Jesus, you know, the parameters and the scope and the perspective of this name, the whole enormity of that name outlined in the Word of God that tells us these are legal, this is a legal document that you have been given power of attorney to use this name to get the job done for the Lord. Amen. And we let a little setback hit us. We let a little sickness hit, step us back. Come on now. Use the name. Use the name. You getting it tonight? Beware if anyone cheats you through philosophy. Now, this is where folks come in because they're not using the name. And they're not going to encourage you to use the name. They got genetically altered Bibles. They pray in Jesus for Jesus' sake. They say, in your name we pray. They don't say, in Jesus' name we pray. They just say amen with a Hail Mary, throwing it up to the Lord and saying, well, I hope and wish it happens. Huh? Beware lest anyone cheat you. Is anybody cheating you? Saying you got to stay with this sickness for the rest of your life. You got to stay in this situation for a protracted period of time until you break down and melt down. Come on now. With empty deceit according to the traditions of men. Now, we know Jesus said the tradition of men when he's speaking to the Pharisees in the book of Gospel of John. He said, you through your traditions have made the word of God of none effect. So you got people with mixed up, you know, different religions and different theologies and philosophies, and they're telling you there's nothing to that. It's just a religious notion. It's just a religious cliche you put at the end of a statement or a prayer. But it doesn't have any power with it. Are you listening to me? According to the tradition, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. Christ told you and me to use his name. In my name, you shall drive out demons. In my name, come on now, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. There's power in the name of Jesus. Verse 9, for him, in who? In Christ. Dwells all. What's all mean?
Everything.
Everything. All the fullness of the Godhead. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And dwells in him bodily. And what was that? Who was that bodily name? Hoo-wee. Hallelujah. And you are complete where? Now, who in here, you need to get your mind renewed about this. Every day, you think you're complete in him. You're letting a genetically altered religion influence your thinking to think that you're incomplete. Jesus would never leave us at a disadvantage, and we have the advantage of the Holy Spirit, who is the greater one on the inside of us. And he'll tell us how to use the name. Who is the head of all principality? But keep going. Thank you. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made by the hand, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Keep going. Buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through the faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he's made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Man, this is good stuff. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us and was contrary to us. Come on, he's conquering stuff. He's defeating stuff. He's defeating death. He's defeating sin. He's overcoming for us. He's inheriting this name by conquest. He's conquering sin, Satan, sickness, and sorrow in our lives. He's conquering. And he says, and he was taken out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Somebody say glory to God. So our Father God has made this investment. You can see the wisdom of God in all this, the great plan of redemption. He made this investment that he's gonna inherit a name. He's gonna get an excellent name by conquest, and he's gonna confer on him when he exalts him a name above all other names. Whew. That's why he had to be named Jesus. When he told Mary and John, his father, Joseph, excuse me, his earthly father, he said, call his name Jesus, which is a combination of the Hebrew and the Greek. God Almighty as Redeemer has come. So he inherited the name of his father. He conquered in that name while he was here on the earth during his death, burial, and resurrection. And he was conferred his excellent name when he was exalted. Are you listening to me? Are you using the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Are you stirred up tonight? So our Father God made this investment for the benefit of the church. He didn't do all this for himself. He did it for you and me because he began to do it. We've got us here to finish it. He made this name on which the church has a right to draw for our every need. Now, that's another one you highlight. Are you drawing on the name? Are you using the name to draw everything you need? Because everything Jesus was, everything Jesus is, everything Jesus will ever be is wrapped up, tied up, and included in that name. Now, that name, you can draw on it. Because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him. Whew, glory to God. See, he has given Jesus the name that has within it the fullness of the Godhead, the wealth of the eternities, the love of the heart of our Father God. And that name is given to you and me. It's given to us. How have you been using it? See, we have a right to use the name of Jesus against our enemies in our petitions, our prayers, in our praises and worship. Now, he says this, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. When you're meeting with people, you do it how? In the name. When you're praying, in the name. When you're praising God, in the name. Amen. Come on now. You're cooking dinner, in the name. You eating the food, you're blessing it and receiving it sanctified to your body, in the what? In the name. You going to a class, you're having a tough meeting, you having family situations, how do you deal with it? In the name. Do all in the name. We're not using the name enough. It's underutilized, friends. It's underutilized. And like our dear brother shared this morning, tonight during pre-service prayer, I mean, if we just take that step toward understanding, comprehending, and getting a fresh revelation and concept of the name, our faith would be buoyed up and stirred up to be able to activate that name. Amen. You know, Kenneth Hagin talking about he used that name against to break the power of the devil over unsaved relatives. Are you using the name? Are you using the name against backslidden children and rebellious children, disobedient children? Are you using the name to get your finances straightened out because the enemy of our soul has come and penetrated and poisoned your financial wherewithal and your abundance and increase? Because he told us to use the name to stop the plans of the enemy. Amen. All right, let's go to John. We'll close with the prayer. We'll have to deal with the other one next week. John 16, we're going to go through those three scriptures. But you got the scriptures just to study out and reread. Let's go to John 16, 23, 24. Here's the prayer of faith. He said, don't. And in that day, he's talking about the day after his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, you will ask me nothing. While he's on earth, they just came to Jesus for everything they need. Well, he's telling us this new order of how to pray, how to get petitions. Now, how many petitions, if we were taking a survey, how many petitions do you have in heaven authenticated and authorized by that name? It's underutilized. Because when the scripture says pray without ceasing, we ought to be praying in that name, but there also be prayers going up all the time. We have the prayer call. We talked about the power of corporate prayer. We gather together. Because he said, were there two or three gathered together in what? My name. There am I. Are you listening to me? He said, most assuredly, I say unto you, whatever you ask. Now, when he says most assuredly, King James says verily, verily. Is he tiptoeing through the tulips and being kind of weak and passive to us? Or is he guaranteeing something? Does it look like God's guarantee, the Lord's guaranteeing? This is serious business. When you transact business with God in my name, you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. We're lacking on answered prayers because we're not using the name. Or we don't have a revelation that once you pray in that name, in faith, believing, receiving, you are guaranteed. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask. Now, he's not being timid. He's not being passive. Our Lord is being very direct and clear and instructional. He's given us clear, direct instructions saying, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I think oftentimes our joy level is limited or marred or hindered because we're not asking and so we're not receiving. And we're not receiving because we're asking, we're not utilizing the name in faith. Because it's not about us begging God to get it done. It's about the name that authenticates it and authorizes it to get done. Are you listening to me? All right. So we see that the prayer for everybody ought to be using that. Praying to the Father. You find people praying to the Lord Jesus, praying to this. I don't know what they're praying to. Some people praying to other, you know, believers that have gone on to be with the Lord. You don't pray to them. You pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Amen. And learning how to pray this way is more important than a college education. Because God will make sure it gets done if he has to bring it from Shanghai, China, all the way over to San Antonio, Texas. He will get it to you because you prayed in that name. He said, most assuredly, whatever you ask in my name, ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, John 14. Now, this is personally not a prayer, but I put it in there to show you this is one that we deal with the enemies because he's telling us, I'm talking about this thread or theme of using the name. So you're supposed to use the name. It's some people call it the prayer of binding and loosing. Some people say, you know, the prayer of demanding, commanding. You can label that, that's fine. But Jesus is telling us, most assuredly, I say unto you, so here he's going to say, verily, verily again, this is guaranteed. I say unto you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Now, do you believe in him?
Yes.
If you believe in him, you believe in his name. You don't take his name like a religious cliche or a religious good luck charm. You're underestimating and valuing the name when you do that. So the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to where? Now keep going, because when he gets glorified. Whatever you ask, now we said the meaning of that word ask is really the word demand. And we don't demand God per se. We demand the devil. Take your hands off my money. Take your hands off my child. Take your hands off of my body. Sickness, I demand that you leave. fever, leave in Jesus' name. Why are you tolerating a headache for 4 or 5 hours? Then four to six pills later, the fever goes down a little bit. Come on, use the name. When you got shortness of breath and your heart's beating out of your chest, use the name. Tell your heart to get in line. Get in line. Tell your lungs to get in line. You won't be overcome by asthma attacks, allergies. Use the name. Are y'all stirred up about this tonight? That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask in my name. If you ask, how much? Look at the scope of this. Anything. If you demand anything in my name, everybody say anything. That's like God signing you a blank check and telling you to fill it in. He's telling you to fill it in. Anything. Anything in my name, I will do it. And he's guaranteeing, I'm serious about you using my name. Woo-wee. Last one, let's look at it, Matthew 18. Prayer of agreement. Matthew 18, 19. Again, I say unto you that two of you agree on earth concerning anything. How much? The condition here is agreement, because there's two of you. And we ought to have records after records and documented testimonies of saying, I agree with this brother in the name. And we ask the Father, and it comes to pass. Because there's power in agreement. But he's telling them that agreement is validated by his name. Now listen, to keep going. He said, it will be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So you got to ask the Father still. So these are two people praying. One's the prayer, one's the agreeer, or there may be many other agreeers. And so everybody's believing and agreeing. And he said, for where there are two or three gathered together in whose name? My name, I am there in the midst of them. Now I got this down here, another one to highlight down here. Jesus only gives us the use of his name in new covenant prayer. He's introducing to us the prayer of faith, how to pray differently now. Old Testament, they used to pray to God because Jesus hadn't come to earth yet. But now we pray to God in Jesus' name. And he guarantees answers. He guarantees it. But it doesn't work because he said it or I said it. You can't go around and say, well, Pastor said if I pray in Jesus, use Jesus' name, it's going to work. No, you got to get in there and study, meditate, get a revelation where in your spirit that there's power in the name of Jesus. Unlimited resources in the name of Jesus. Resources that you can draw for your every need in the name of Jesus Christ. But he also declares that the prayer prayed in his name will receive his special attention. He said, I guarantee it. And he said, I will be in the midst. When you demand the devil to get off, it's just like me being there. I will do it. So you say, devil, stop messing with my marriage. Come on now. In the name of Jesus, it's just like Jesus stepped in himself and told the devil, get out of here. Are you using the name? Come on, let's stand. Come on, let's stand and worship the name. Magnify the name.